Well, this morning we're coming to chapter 12 in the book The Economy of God, which sort of takes a turn from where we've been, going through the parts of man and dealing with the parts of man. And now we're talking about man and the two trees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this chapter is so critical that it was published in the little booklet. You can read the chapter as a standalone section. So it really stands by itself.
Yeah.
And why do we need to understand man and the two trees? And that's really under point 1A. In order to understand God's plan, we must be really clear about the trees and what they represent. So what trees are we talking about? Let's read Genesis 2:9.
Mm-hmm. Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, so there's two trees here in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
At the creation of man, we have the tree of life in the middle of the garden. And then we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
Even just from the names, one seems very simple and one is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's got both good and evil in it. You wonder, is it good or bad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll find out what these mean. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand these because they signify something very significant in God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get straight to it, the tree of life signifies God. God himself mm-hmm. in Christ as our life.
Amen. Amen.
God wanted man to take himself as life.
Amen.
And how do we know this? Well, there's a few verses here. I'll just give you the essence of Isaiah 11:1. Is in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Christ is likened to a tree. In Isaiah 11:1, he's a sprout or a shoot coming out of the stump of Jesse. Song of Songs 2:3, we enjoyed that this morning.
Right.
He's an apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sweet part here. He's an apple tree. I sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
This wow. is our Christ. So in the Old Testament, he's the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And then in John 15:1, he says, I'm the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And in John 11:25, he says, I am the life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the life vine, or the life tree, or the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is our tree of life.
Amen.
But there was another tree there
mm-hmm.
in Genesis, and that's the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And it represents nothing else than Satan, who is the source of death.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, it doesn't sound so bad when you say tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
But if you realize, and God told man, that will lead you to death.
Death.
Right.
And how do we know that? Satan, Hebrews 2:14, he is
the one
who has the might of death. That is the devil. So it's clear that that tree represented Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And with Satan, it comes in this other kind of clothing of knowledge of good and evil. This is the way he presents it to us in the world. It looks like something, but the end is death.
Right.
And so in the beginning, man was created in innocence, it says in the chapter. He was there, placed in the garden, with one tree in the middle, the tree of life, and another tree to choose from, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was the setup of man in the universe. We had to choose.
Right.
And I say we because it's a corporate we. When Adam and Eve chose of the wrong tree, we all partook of the wrong tree. So what happened? Man was corrupted by the tree of death. Now, note in the chapter here, that's how Brother Lee referred to it, not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He just took away the veneer and calls it the tree of death, what it is. So the significance of taking the fruit of the tree of knowledge is that Adam received Satan into himself. A satanic element got into man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you eat of a fruit, sometimes you eat seeds, and the seed of Satan got into man, and it took root and started to grow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is something really serious, and even some Christians, some believers don't agree, and they need to be clear that we have Satan in our being.
Amen.
And this is our struggle that we struggle against today. Yes, what happened? Satan came into our being, and really you could see this in Romans chapter 7. Right. If you read Romans 7, it's clear that something came in. And there Paul says, sin dwells in me. Right. And then sin becomes personified, and sin is acting and doing things in me. That is just Satan in us.
Right.
And where did he come into us? We've been talking about the three parts of man. He came into our body and changed our body into the flesh. In the Bible, the word flesh refers to our fallen being. And in fact, it caused it, that word flesh, actually 7:18, not 7:17. Sin in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And then it's also called a body of sin in 6:6, and a body of this death. Body of sin means man was sinful, corrupted, even enslaved by Satan. Sin is our slave master. And a body of death because we're weakened and full of death. And so this seems like a terrible situation. All of mankind is this way. And Satan thinks, ha-ha, I got in to man. I ruined and corrupted his being, so now he's sinful, full of death, useless for God. It seems that Satan is won. But, hallelujah.
Amen.
God sent his son.
Amen.
Man was released from the tree of death. How? By God sending his son in the likeness of the flesh of sin.
Amen.
That's Romans 8:3. And this is a really interesting point.
Yeah.
In this chapter, Burley said God trapped Satan like trapping a mouse in a trap. He said Satan was like a mouse in the universe, this annoying mouse running around and running around. And God, you know when a mouse goes to a trap, they think there's some food, and they take a bite, but then they're caught. So Satan took a bite, but he got caught. And man, as a mouse in takes a bait in the trap. And I was enjoying a song even by Brother Higashi. He wrote, this trapped Satan. And now, why was this a trap to be trapped in man? Because Christ, when he came in the likeness of that flesh. And so when Christ was put on the cross, that flesh in which was Satan was put on the cross and judged.
Amen.
And Satan, at that time, all of a sudden they realized, wait a minute, we're trapped here. And all it said all the authorities in the heavens and the air were struggling over Christ. And he just stripped them off and made a display of them. He said, oh, it's too late. You're in the trap. God is judging the flesh, and you're in the flesh. You get judged. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So let's read. Hebrews 2:14, be there.
Through death he destroyed him who has the might of death. That is the devil.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He destroyed him.
Amen.
On the cross.
Amen.
Satan was destroyed by the judgment of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So if we are feeling like we have a corrupted body, the body of this death or body of sin, what do we need to do? We need to apply the cross.
Amen.
The cross is the only weapon to overcome Satan.
Amen.
Even Galatians 5:24 says, they who are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. When we believe in Christ, we join him and accept the crucifixion of Christ on the cross.
Amen.
And this is our weapon against Satan.
Amen.
So what is the result? We are resurrected by the tree of life.
Amen.
Brother Lee said, when were you regenerated? Not 20 or 15 or 30 years ago. We were regenerated in the resurrection of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's Ephesians 2:5 and 6. made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together with him. When Christ was raised, we were raised.
Amen.
Saints, this is the fact. We were on the cross. Our flesh was judged. And in his resurrection, we were made alive.
Amen.
So we just need to apply this divine fact to our life today.
Amen.
Amen. When our flesh is away from the cross, we will find, because we all know, after we're saved, it seems like we can still sin. We know this by our experience, right? It's not like all of a sudden I'm not sinning anymore.
No.
Why is this? It's because we practice being apart from the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And we practice trying to live by our flesh. Mm-hmm. We try to do good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the tree of good and evil,
right?
Which the result is death.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we must live in the Spirit all the time and apply the cross to our flesh.
Amen.
Okay, so we're talking about these two trees. We have to realize there's an ultimate issue.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate issue of the two trees is shown in Revelation. The tree of life consummates in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Even the tree of life is there, feeding the city with its fruits.
Amen.
And where does the tree of knowledge and good and evil end up? In the lake of fire. So we have to remember, if we are living by our knowledge, living by the exercise of our good, we are just on the wrong tree. And that is leading in the wrong place. So Brother Lee concludes this chapter with point F. The normal Christian life does not consist of doing good by our flesh. Right? Some people think, do good until he comes. No, he doesn't want us to do good. He wants us to allow the life of Christ in our spirit to live through us.
Amen.
So we have to every day exercise to attach ourselves to the right tree.
Amen.
Crucify the wrong tree on the cross and turn to our spirit where that life, the tree of life, is installed, connected, and exercise to live by the tree of life.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this tree.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.